Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Text number 17. Tadevam sarva bir militva chidachid shaktir bhagavan. Thus, taking all these together, Bhagavan possesses the spiritual and non-spiritual energies. All of these means all these different energies. We were talking about three different kinds of energies. Evam eva parameshwaratvena stuyamanam brahmanam prati hiranyakashipunapi uktam chidachit-shakti-yuktaya iti. And so even Hiranyakashipu said, while praising Brahma as the Supreme Lord, he used the words, who is endowed with the spiritual and non-spiritual energies. So he recognized that, but he applied it to Lord Brahma, who he thought was the Supreme Lord. Chidvastunash Chidvastvantarasyashrayatvam Rashma Bas Adi Jyotisho Jyotir Mandalasyashrayatvam Iva. A spiritual entity's being sheltered by another spiritual entity is similar to a radiant celestial body's rays and reflections being under the shelter of the radiant body. Is that talking going on inside? Is that in the kitchen? Could you go see? A spiritual entity is sheltered by another spiritual entity. Well, the internal energy and the marginal energy are spiritual entities. They're alive. They're chit. They are under the shelter of, they are expansions of, the Supreme Lord. Now, one may argue that a spiritual entity should be independent. That's what it should mean to be spiritual. And therefore have a problem with this dependency. But the answer is that a spiritual entity's being sheltered by another spiritual entity is similar to a radiant celestial body's rays and reflections being under the shelter of the radiant body. Like the sun has its rays and it has the reflection of its light. Let's say it's effulgence. They are expanding from the sun. And their existence is completely dependent on the existence of the sun. Similarly, the jivas are expanded and separated particles of the Supreme. And although the internal energy is not in the same way minute or even, well, it is distinct, but it is also, just like everything else, under the shelter of, dependent on the Supreme Lord. Whether it's finite or infinite, it's still dependent. The spiritual energy. Okay, continuing. Chidvastu nash, chidvast vantaras. I read that. Atra tatastakya, jiva shaktir, yata vasaram, paramat masandarbe, vivaraniya. In this discourse, the jiva energy, who is known as marginal, will be explained later as the occasion arises in the Paramatma Sandarbha. Okay, and the commentary explains where. commentary says, Bhagavan, the complete absolute truth, incorporates his superior and inferior energies and their countless derivatives. The one reality includes many subordinate realities. Impersonalists might question how there can be a multitude of pure spirits, one sheltering the others. Because for Advaitavadis, any duality cannot be real, and spiritual being should be real. Pure chit, they presume, is independent and needs no shelter. That is true in the case of the supreme chit, but the subordinate souls exist and thrive only in his shelter. The sun's rays are also pure sunlight, but they are dependent on their source. Srila Jiva defers for now the very important complex topic of the finite souls. He's not talking directly about the jivas. He will discuss the jiva's identity and nature later in the Paramatma Sandarbha, text 19 through 47, which makes about one-third of the whole Paramatma Sandarbha. Now, for the purpose of explaining the internal energy, the material energy will also be described. We're really interested in the spiritual energy. But in order to put everything in proper perspective, we should first of all understand what is the material energy. Yatak para apara cheti Sri Vishnu Purane Shriyate Sarva Bhuteshu Sarvatman Yashaktir Apara Tovo Gunashraya Namastasyai Sashvataya Sureshwara Yatita Gochara Vacham Manasam Chavisheshana Gyani Gyana Parichetya Vandetam Ishwarim Param. Okay. We hear mention in Sri Vishnu Purana of the Lord's energy as both superior and inferior. O soul of all, obeisances to the eternal, inferior energy of yours, present in all created beings. O Lord of the demigods, she is the shelter of the material modes. I also offer my respects to the Supreme Goddess, who is beyond the reach of words and the distinguishing power of the minds of living beings. She can only be ascertained by spiritual knowledge and realization. So there, somebody's offering prayers. I'm not sure who. And he's acknowledging, he's offering, first of all, he's talking to Sarvatman. He's talking to the Supreme Lord, soul of all. And he's glorifying him by referring to the energies that are subordinate to him. First, the material energy. Who is eternal, he says, Shashvatayai, your inferior energy. Still, it's your energy, and you could be glorified for having that energy. And then, the supreme energy he also offers his obeisances to. And we'll see what Jiva Goswami says about these verses. He continues, Saisha bahuvrittikaiva gyeya. Parasya shaktir vividaiva shriyate iti shrutehe. It should be understood that this energy, in brackets both material and spiritual, has many functions. In accordance with the statement of Shruti, the revealed scripture says, scriptures say that the supreme sublime energy is manifold. Got many different kinds of energies. Parasa Shaktir Vividaiva Shruyate. Okay, so we can distinguish not just there's energy, but there's a difference between spiritual and material energy. Yes, Guru Mahan? I don't have them on the desk. I gave you. Oh, here. Okay. Here. Go ahead. Yeah. Not everybody, not even all Vaishnavas, clearly recognize the distinction between spiritual and material energies. In some sampradayas, the Vaishnava has to acknowledge the Lord's energy is real, but some may not understand the difference between the spiritual and the material worlds, and that the Lord has these two different kinds of energies. Although, you'd have to misinterpret scripture, clear statements in the Bhagavad Gita as well as Bhagavatam, about, and the Upanishads, about the two different kinds of energies. But there are some Vaishnavas who, although they acknowledge, they give lip service to the idea of liberation, they have no concept of Vaikuntha, of the spiritual world. And liberation for them is such a distant thing that it's only attained by very few souls, and they don't even try to define what is there in liberation. In that, even though they may theoretically acknowledge, yes, there's a spiritual energy, but they really have no clear concept of it. They're only dealing with God, cultivating their relationship with God in the material world. And liberation, where the spiritual energy that's talked about in the Gita and Bhagavatam is manifest, is just some distant thing to be achieved at the end of one's many lifetimes, not to be understood or discussed now. So not even all Vaishnavas have a clear conception of the two different kinds of energies of the Lord. Jiva Goswami in the Sandarbhas is going to make clear the nature of the spiritual and material energies. In the Sarvasambhadani, he establishes that the spiritual energy is distinct, that there is such a thing, and it's quite different from the material energy. So that's there in the Sarvasambhadani for the Bhagavad Sandarbha. Let's read the commentary for this part. Since we are familiar with the material nature and not at all with the spiritual, it is useful for us to hear the two of them described together. Because we can understand what we don't know in relationship to and in comparison to what we do know. That what we don't know, the unknown, is best introduced in terms of what we do know. We can begin to understand spirit by comparison with the imperfect existence we know, by learning what the perfect world is not. Sa esha neti neti atma. Neti neti is where this comes from. This term, neti neti, comes from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It's repeated several times in the fourth chapter, but here it is in part four of the fourth chapter, verse 22. Or text 22. Sa esha neti neti atma. That supreme soul is not this and not this. In the perfect world, there is no birth, no death, no pain, no disease, no ignorance, no confusion. Only, so those are all the things that the spiritual world doesn't have. Only the ideal counterpart of these are present there in an eternal natural life of lucidity and joy. There's a spiritual thing, a counterpart. There's something going on in the realm of bhava that resembles birth and death. There's a vyabhichara bhava called mriti. It's a semblance of death. And real death is a reflection, a perverted reflection of that. And so on. Only the ideal counterparts of these things that don't exist in the spiritual world are there in the spiritual world. Okay, going on. 17.3. Tatra bahir angamaha. Vitir tam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tadvidyad atmano mayam yata bhaso yata tamaha. Of these two, the external energy is described. And that's in the second, in the Chatukshloki Bhavatam, in its ninth chapter of the second canto. What appears to be separate from the higher reality, but is incapable of appearing independently, know that to be my Maya, who is like a reflection and like darkness. Okay, now we'll have some discussion of this verse. This is our first introduction to the topic of the material energy. The definition of Maya. And Jiva Goswami explains, Artam paramarta bhutam mam vina yat pratiyeta mat pratitau tat pratitya bhavat mato bahir eva yasya pratitir ityartaha. What appears to be separate from the transcendental reality, me? This indicates that, since it is not perceived when I am perceived, that is, the material energy is not perceived when I am perceived, it is only perceived outside of me. And furthermore, if it is not perceived in itself, which means to say, na pratiyete chatmani, it's not perceived in itself, which means to say, there is no independent perception of it, without its having me as its foundation. So if you're Krishna conscious, you don't see Maya. But you cannot see Maya. Maya can only be seen because it's connected with Krishna. There's no perception of Maya separate from Krishna. Na pratiyeta chatmani. Yasya cha madashrayatam. Okay. Yasya cha madashrayatvam vina svatat pratiyatir nasti diyartaha. Tata lakshana vastu atmano mama parameshvarasya mayam jivamaya gunamayeti dvyatmikam mayakya shaktim vidyat tad vidyat. That's the word, the verb in the verse. You should understand that to be such. This means to say, okay, I read that. Understand that the entity thus defined is the Maya of the self, me, the Supreme Lord, Atmano Mayam. It's the Maya of the Atma. Well, also it's a reflexive pronoun, my own. It means the same thing. Both refer to the speaker, Lord Vishnu. He is the Supreme Soul, and he's talking about himself. It's his energy, his Maya. Understand that she is my energy called Maya in two aspects, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. That is adding something to what was said in the verse. Maya exists in two forms, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya. This means to say, do I have that? Atra shuddha jivasyapi chidrupa tvavisheshena tadiya rashmi staniyatvena cha swantak pata eva vivakshitaha. This means to say that the pure individual soul is to be considered part of the Supreme Himself, because the jiva is a spiritual being, just as the Supreme is, and he can be represented as a ray emanating from him. The jiva can be represented as a ray emanating from the Supreme Lord. Okay. The jiva is spirit. Brahman is, the Supreme Lord is spirit. that doesn't necessarily mean, just that much doesn't logically mean that the, therefore the jiva is part of the supreme. They could be two separate spiritual entities. But we have the additional fact that we know that the Supreme Lord is everything. There is no spiritual energy outside of him. Nothing exists separate from him. So if the jiva is also spirit, then the jiva has to be included within the Supreme. But there is no spirit outside the Supreme. There's the logic. Tatrasya dvyatmikatvena abhidanam drishta dvai vidyena labhyate. Drishtanta dvai vidyena labhyate. So why are we saying, why is Jiva Goswami saying that the Maya is two kinds, Jiva Maya and Guna Maya? That's not said in the verse. But there being two different analogies, that the Supreme's energy is designated in terms of two aspects, is implied by the two different analogies being given, yata baso and yata tamaha. They're referring to the two aspects of Maya. Maya is like a shadow and it's like darkness. So one of the two aspects is like a shadow and the other one is like darkness. We'll get into that. That'll be specified in a little bit. Jiva Goswami will explain that to us. I think I have two different translations of this last sentence. Maybe one of them is wrong and the other one's right. I just read that the Supreme's energy is designated in terms of two aspects as implied by the two different analogies being given. There being two different analogies leads us to understand that the Supreme energy is designated in two different aspects. Well, that's two translations of the same sentence. I don't know which one to use. Let me make a note here. I've translated it. I wrote a second translation. I meant to delete one of them, but I don't know which one. Hare Krishna. Okay, we'll leave that for now and move on. Seems like both translations are correct. I just don't know which one sounds better. Commentary. The word artha has several possible senses. Ritirtam, yet what appears without artha? That word is used. So what does artha mean there? Artha can mean a number of things. The word artha has several possible senses, including meaning, goal, use, worth, wealth, and sense object. How we understand this definition of Maya depends on which meaning of artha we choose. Srila Jiva chooses, well, what appears for free without any price. You know, that could be another translation. Ritaritam, without any cost. No. That doesn't make sense. Srila Jiva Goswami chooses for us the meaning worth. Not that it has no meaning, that it has no use, that it has no purpose, but it isn't worth anything, the Maya. Or in other words, mam paramartma bhutam. What does worth mean? Mam paramartha bhutam. I who am the highest good. That's the greatest value. Maybe I use the word value instead of worth. Because value is a quality, it also can be a thing. What's the value of it? Worth can be a thing too, but value sounds better. Ah, I can't do that like that.
Sorry, I have to write this. They're better to use value. I can't write in directly in the file because I've already given the file to the editor. Okay, moving on. So whatever is seen without the value, the thing of value, me who am the highest good, whatever is perceived separate from me who am the highest good, that's Maya. Atma also has a number of meanings. Na pratyeta cha atmani. It doesn't appear in the Atma, but what do we mean by Atma? Atma also has a number of meanings. Soul, body, mind, etc. And besides these noun meanings, it can also have the meaning of a reflexive pronoun. Myself, yourself, or his, her, itself. According to Srila Jiva, by Atmanaha, Krishna here means of myself. Since Maya is his property, the portion of Maya called Jiva Maya is the power of illusion that affects in various ways the consciousness of fallen souls. The other portion, Guna Maya, produces the phenomena of matter. This is what Jiva Maya and Guna Maya are. Jiva Maya affects the jivas, affects their consciousness. Guna Maya creates the material substance, the material elements. Jiva Maya will be described more fully in text 22. The verse defining Maya cited here is the main focus of discussion of the current Anuchid, and ends with a brief mention of two things analogous to Maya, a reflection and darkness. That will be explained further later on. Okay, in fact, right now, we'll talk about these two examples in 17.4. Tatra jiva mayakyasya pratamamshasya tadrishatvam trishtantena spashtayan asambhavanam nirasyati yatabhasa iti. More specifically, that the first portion known as jiva maya is in fact like this is made clear by an analogy, dispelling doubts about the validity of this concept in the phrase like a reflection. Okay, so maybe some doubts that the Supreme Lord can expand like this, or that an energy can have such effect on the jivas. So, example of an reflection is given. Abhaso, and reflection, the example is given to dispel that doubt. Abhaso, jyotir bimbasya swiya prakashad vyavahita pradeshe katanchit uchalita praticha vivishesha. This is a technical definition of what an abhasa is. A reflection is a particular counter image of a luminous image somehow coming into view in a location separate from the original manifestation. The sun, now thing must be luminous. It must be giving some light, otherwise how can it be reflected? If a thing is invisible, it's not going to be reflected. To be visible, it must be giving, light rays must be bouncing off of it. So a visible thing that has its, is luminous in its own right. Of course, it can also be reflecting light from the sun or from some other source. But light is emanating from the object that we're seeing. Now, by putting a mirror in front, another image, a counter image of the object can be produced by a mirror in a location separate from the original manifestation. That's a reflection. Sayata tasmad bahir deva pratiyate Nachatam vina tasya patitis tata sa pityartha. Well, just as a reflection appears apart from the original and is not perceived without the original, so that energy appears in the same way. So the reflection of, I have a flashlight and I point it at a mirror. So the light, there's an image of the flashlight in the mirror. It's not in the same place. If I smash the mirror, I don't smash the flashlight. But if I take the flashlight away, then the reflection also goes away. It doesn't appear without the original, even though it's somewhere other than where the original is. So, it doesn't exist without the original, but it's not seen in the original. Now that's supposed to be a description of the jiva-maya portion of illusion. Let's see how. Commentary. The tadrishatva of jiva-maya, its being like this, is its fitting the given definition of maya, which is the definition given by the verse, which is verified by comparing the functions of jiva-maya to that of a reflection, a true but dislocated image. There is no use in asserting that the jiva cannot have any reflection. See, the jiva itself is a product of maya, in a sense. So there's no use in asserting that the jiva cannot have any reflection, on the grounds that he is in his essence non-different from the Supreme. Thus the jiva is boundless and formless, in that there exists nothing else as a medium for him to be reflected in. If the jiva was an exact image of the Lord, exact copy, then he'd be infinite and have no shape. And something that has no finite size can't be reflected in it. There's no mirror can catch it. No medium can reflect something that's infinite in size and also doesn't have any shape. All you can see in the reflection is the shape of something. You don't have the actual thing, you just have its shape. And that shape has to be a finite size, otherwise it can't fit in the reflecting medium. So if the jiva is exactly the same as Brahman, or if it is Brahman, then it can't be reflected. The jiva must be something different. No, the jivas are infinitesimal parts of the Supreme, both non-different and different from him. So the power of jiva maya can create the reflections which are the jiva's erroneous self-conceptions. The jiva is not maya, but the life that the jiva is living, what he thinks he sees and what he thinks he's doing, that's all maya. That's created by the jiva maya. Jiva maya doesn't create the jivas, but the jiva maya creates the material life of the jivas. In this illusion, the jivas see themselves as disjointed from the Supreme. But if they were not, in fact, connected in a dependent relationship with him, they could not see or even exist. They can't perceive without the Lord empowering them, inspiring them to be able to perceive. And they can't even exist without him giving them, granting them that existence. By the jiva-maya potency, the jivas seem to be separate from Krishna, but actually they are very much connected with and dependent on him. Looking at 17.5. Anena pratichabi paryaya basa dharmatvena tasyam abasa akyatvam api dvanitam. Another unspoken implication is that this jiva maya is called abhasa, reflection, because it has the nature of a reflection, otherwise known as a counter image. Well, okay. In other words, you could metaphorically call the jiva maya, you could call it abhasa. Reflection. It's the reflective, the way it works is like a reflection. Dvanitam, this is the poetic term. You know, this is the power, the word function of meaning of suggestion. It's not spoken, but it's implied. Because the word abhasa is just used in the example, in the analogy, yata abhasa. It doesn't say that maya is an abhasa. But that when you start talking about abhasas, then metaphorically you're thinking, oh, well, I guess maya herself, when she's in that aspect, she is an abhasa. She is a reflection. Okay? It's illusion, alluding to something. Just like, you know, you have a friend who eats too much, you don't want to insult him, but you know, tell him directly he weighs too much. But you want to get the idea across subtly, so you know, say something indirectly. Like, you know, is it going to rain today? Well, fat chance. You know, it's not going to rain. You know, so you just throw the word fat out, maybe he'll get the idea. So you allude to the idea, and someone who is awake will maybe get the idea of applying it to where it belongs. We're not saying directly that maya is a shadow, a reflection, but we throw in the word reflection referring to something else as the example. You might get the idea, well, it's a good example because maya is a kind of reflection. Let the reader catch the implication himself. That's poetry. Poetry says something and means more than what it says. Atra, atas, tat karyasya basakya tvam kvachit, abhasas cha nirodas cha. Thus, what is produced by this jivamaya energy is also sometimes called abhasa. The word is sometimes used to refer to the products of the jivamaya. As in the verse, abhasas cha nirodas cha, that's also from the earlier in the ninth, the same ninth chapter, the second canto. Definition of the ashraya, the summum bonum, in which occur the reflection and its dissolution. So actually, the material creation is called reflection there. The creation that's made as a show for the jivas by the jiva maya. Well, the jiva maya and the guna maya. The guna maya produces the elements of nature, but they're just imperceptible elements, just atoms. It's the jiva maya that makes all of that pile of atoms look like something to the jivas. So the abhasa, the image, the movie image on the screen that looks like something going on, that is created by the jiva maya. And in this verse, at least, it's called abhasa, reflection. Atra sayata kvachit atyant odbata atma swachakikya chata Patita netranam jananam netra prakasham avrinoti tamavrityacha svenatyanta udbata tejas twenaiva drashtri netram vyakulan svopakante varna shavalyam udgirati. This is a long sentence. Let me just read it. Kadachit tadeva pitat bhavena nana karataya parinamayati tateyam api jivam gyanam avrinoti Sattvadi guna samya rupam guna mayakyam jadam prakritim udgirati. Kadachit pritat bhutan sattvadi gunan nana karataya parinamayati chaitigeyam. Okay, this is complicated. We can understand from this description that in the same way as a reflection sometimes becomes very intense, covers the visual perception of a person whose eyes fall upon its excessive brilliance. Just like, you know, if you reflect the sun, directly in a mirror, especially, or put it through a lens that magnifies it, then it can burn out your eyes, your retina. You know, it's worse than looking directly in the sun, looking at a magnified image of the sun. So you should never look at a sun directly in binoculars or a telescope. You'll destroy your eyesight. So this is an example of a reflection sometimes becoming very intense. It covers the visual perception of a person whose eyes fall upon its excessive brilliance. And having covered the viewer's perception, agitates their eyes with their own intense radiance, causing a mixed assortment of colors to arise in front of them. Okay, you look at the sun through a magnifying glass, and you start seeing spots in front of your eyes. Kaleidoscope, you know, colors that aren't really there. And sometimes makes this imagery modulate into a number of separate forms, and then it may get so agitated that the kaleidoscope of colors may seem to form into certain shapes. You think you see something, a dragon or something. So also, that's an analogy to what? So also, the jiva-maya covers the knowledge of the finite soul, causes the inert material energy called guna-maya, comprising the equilibrium of the modes of goodness and so on, to arise in front of him. Jiva-maya inspires the jiva to look at the guna-maya, and sometimes makes the mode of goodness and so on evolve into various forms. So just like the very intense reflection, say of the sun on a mirror, causes you to, your eyesight, just spots in front of your eyes, and sometimes those spots seem to form into shapes. Similarly, the guna-maya makes the living entities look at this pile of atoms created by the guna-maya, and sometimes the pile of atoms seems to turn into shapes. Because actually, jiva is asleep half the time within the body of Mahavishnu during Brahma's night. So it's only some of the time that he seems to see to be in a actual world where things are manifest. Only sometimes are these manifestations present, the manifestations of illusion. This is described in the verse beginning, Taduknam Ekadeshas Ditasyagne from the Vishnu Purana, Ityadi. This is described in the verse beginning as the light from a fire located in one place. We'll read the whole verse in the commentary. Tata Chayur Veda Vidaha. Scholars of the Ayurveda have also said, I don't know exactly which Ayurvedic text this is from, but he's citing it. Jagad Yonir Achintyasya Chidanandaika Rupinaha Pumsosti Prakritir Nitya Pratichayeva Basvataha Achetana Pichetanya Yogina Paramatmanaha Akarod Vishwamakilam Anityam Natakat Kritihi Iti. The scholars of the Ayurveda have also said, the Supreme Lord, the one inconceivable source of creation, whose form is pure consciousness and bliss, has his material energy, like the reflected image of the sun. Although that energy is not conscious, by contact with the consciousness of him, the Supreme Soul, she has produced this entire temporary creation. Well, if the energy is not conscious, better we call it it than rather than she. Can I change it? Hold on a second. Why call her she if she's not conscious? So we're talking about the energy, not the presiding deity of the energy. We're talking about the material matter itself. It has produced this entire temporary creation, just as if she or it were an actress performing magical tricks. So now she's turning into an actress. Ah, boy. I'll leave it she. Okay. because if we make it, then the it becomes an actress. Why not an actor? So, okay, let it be she. Although that energy is not conscious, by contact with the consciousness of him, the Supreme Soul, she has produced this entire temporary creation, just as if she were an actress performing magical tricks. Because we distinguish between the matter and Prakriti, who is the presiding deity of the matter. She's alive. She's conscious. Let's see what the commentary says to explain this. The Supreme Lord's Jiva Maya potency is not unreal like an image. Not unreal like a mirage. But it is called reflection because its action is similar to the appearance of an image in the sky. The Bhagavatam text under discussion does not explicitly assign this name, Abhasa, to Jiva Maya, but suggests the naming by the words like a reflection, rather than the words Yata Abhasa, Yata Tamaha. It doesn't say directly that Maya is an Abhasa, but implies that by using the word Abhasa. As a product of Jiva Maya, the world as it is perceived by conditioned souls is sometimes also called abhasa, reflection. Abhasas cha nirodas cha yatostya javasiyate sa ashraya param brahma paramatme tishabdyate. This is at the beginning of the last chapter that follows the second canto that follows the Chatukshloki Bhagavatam. Definition of the 10 topics of the Bhagavatam. The shelter of all is he from whom arises and is perceived the reflection and also its dissolution. He is called the Supreme Brahman and the Supreme Soul. Srila Jiva presents a complex analogy, this is his analogy, of the working of Jiva Maya. He compares it to the way an intense reflection may affect someone's vision. It first blinds the person and then presents an incoherent play of light, which might or might not resolve into a recognizable image. In like fashion proceeds the history of the fallen living being, whose natural awareness is early on obscured by Jiva Maya and replaced by the blank canvas of material nature in primeval equilibrium. And sometimes, during the periods of active creation, the jiva is awakened from his dormant state to experience images of things evoked by the separately manifest modes of nature. The jivas are asleep half the time, so they're just seeing the blank screen. Just like in a poor country where they only have television, 10 hours a day, and during the night it's turned off, just a blank screen. Like that, the jivas, all they see is pradhan while they're asleep. Thus, the portion of maya which influences the consciousness of finite living beings displays for them a separated, temporary existence expanding from the eternally real source, appearing and disappearing like the short-lived sparks of a flame. This is depicted in the verse of the Vishnu Purana beginning Ekadesha Statasyagne, which was cited in full in the previous Anuchet 16.8. The Ayurvedic text quoted here also speaks of Jiva Maya, comparing it to a reflection of the sun and calling it inert but given apparent life by connection with the Supreme Soul. Okay. We're not saying that Prakriti, the lady who is an expansion of Lakshmi, is inert. But the energy she controls is inert, and we think it's alive. We think our dead bodies are alive. Let's look at the verse that was quoted in 16.8. That should be in file 4. No. That's the file 5. We're in 6 now. Okay. Let's find 16.8. Got it. Okay. Ekadesha stitasyagnir Jyotsna Vistaraniyata Parasya Brahmanakshaktis Tateidam Akilam Jagat. As the light from a fire located in one place expands through space, so the energy of the Supreme Lord pervades this whole universe. The light is located just in the lamp, but the light rays expand as far as they can go. Similarly, the Supreme Lord is in one place, but by his energies he pervades everything. And that statement is from the Vishnu Purana first chapter, first canto, 22nd chapter. Okay. We have done through 17.5. We'll stop here for today. 17 goes on for, let's see. No, not that far. There are 8 parts through Anucheta 17. These parts are arbitrary. I divided it up into convenient pieces. Jiva Goswami doesn't divide them up. But he doesn't give a translation either. But in order to make it translatable in recognizable pieces, we cut it up. Okay, so we'll stop here. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.